Paul Smart's ready.
I write up the news the night before. I go over it in the morning. It's not loading this morning. Oh, here, finally it has loaded. But the big thing right now in terms of where we're standing this week, if you've been reading the local papers, if you've been listening to, watching the WGXC newsroom blog and listening to the news on here, it's a very slow period of news, and it's because of two major things. The big one is that it's election season. Nobody's in office right now. Everybody's out running for re-election.
Everybody's out.
I mean, here we don't have the really local races, but for the big races, all the attention's on these people having debates, making statements, etc. And there's not. It's a horse race. One can go, after every single statement and turn it into what we're seeing with the presidential election, where, one person inches forward, one inches back. And it's you have something like last week's debate where I'm sitting with a whole room full of people who were certain that Joe Biden kind of just, trashed Ryan. And then, the next day it comes out as a draw or a Ryan winning because of some hand motions. There was an interesting thing that my wife picked up, which she was hearing or reading some discussion of what's going on in the way we look at presidential politics. And what we're seeing is the end of years of watching these game shows, these things like American Idol, etc., where we choose the winners based on the way they roll their eyes, the way they hold their hands, all these other elements that have nothing to do with the elements that go into running a nation or governing in the modern world.
Our station manager and super blogger, Lynn Sloniker, made an interesting point last week at the first presidential debate, because she didn't watch it. She listened to it.
And what did she hear listening to it?
Hearing it, she didn't see Mitt Romney dominating.
Yeah.
And it's interesting if you just listened to the debate. Maybe that's what we ought to do.
And I read about them, and so then you read the statements, et cetera. But it's
right.
I mean, then again, Richard Nixon lost to Jack Kennedy back 52 years ago based on a sweaty brow.
Yeah.
These things do matter. It's a shame that they matter, but they do. On that front, we have the big presidential debate coming up tomorrow. The other thing that's affecting all the news right now is that we're in budget season, where everybody is wrestling with the figures for next year. And, we ran through all the dates when everything's due. Our local towns are supposed to have their tentative figures and be trying to whittle them down under that 2% tax cap. They're doing it, but they're mainly doing it, there are ways that they do it behind closed doors. They'll have a public meeting. They should have had a public meeting by now. There's a few where it's happening, say, tomorrow. But then their final meeting on it, where they wrestle the figures into final shape, occurs election week, right after the election, when no one's really paying that much attention. So that's what's swallowing up most of our kind of active governmental news around here at this point. But that doesn't mean there's not a lot of stuff going on. There's of course, being in the 7-year-old set, I got to the soccer fields are filled around here with kids playing.
You're not kidding.
And you get crowds of hundreds of people coming out. And then this past weekend, there was a big event up in East Jewett in Greene County, is where there's a thing called Camp Trimount. And it's the Boy Scout camp for Rip Van Winkle Council, which incorporates this entire part of New York State. And there are hundreds of Cub Scouts up there trying out BB guns and bows and arrows and climbing walls and painting pumpkins and just having getting the Bewillikers scared out of them in a haunted house, having a great deal of fun. And it's, even though some of us, you know, there's some communities amongst us that no longer embrace the Boy Scouts because of some of their kind of leftover political embraces. They still play a large role in what our communities are,
yes,
and shaping our communities, as do the Girl Scouts.
I went down to Chatham High School on Saturday. Yeah, that was their homecoming. Because I wanted to see if I could catch the football coach, because that team in itself, the football team, is a story in itself. And got there, and I saw this huge crowd. And you just immediately, I thought, oh, this must be related to, you know, the undefeated Chatham team, a football team. It was all soccer.
Yeah.
It was all soccer. Hundreds and hundreds of people.
Well, that's where I was going to read in terms of the roundup. We had homecoming games this past weekend here in Columbia County, and that's also very big news.
Big news.
And in the homecoming game for Chatham rolled right over Taconic Hills.
Yeah.
And then Todd Crane, and I love the name, they're the Riders.
I love the fact that they won.
Yep, and they defeated Cohoes 24-22.
I'm so happy for them.
And yeah, this is after, I mean, Ichabod Crane's been going through a lot of growing pains recently.
Absolutely.
Or it's kind of reverse growing pains, going the other direction.
Yeah, well, it's a community, it's a booster club built team.
And then,
it's not bad.
In Greene County, it's largely soccer is the big thing. And over there, Caro-Durham, there's a really big game. Caro-Durham topped out Coxsackie Athens 1-0, and that's the great thing about soccer is that it's always like 1-0, or my kid was in one, it was 2-0. He scored both for the first time ever. He was just riding high
all weekend.
But Caro-Durham defeated Coxsackie Athens, and they won the Varsity Boys Soccer Greene County Cup. That was on Friday. I think that big game you saw, Chatham defeated Caro-Durham 1-0. So, it just shows you kind of where the two counties stand.
I couldn't get anywhere close to that. I couldn't believe how many people were there. I mean, I was just commenting on what you were saying about soccer.
Yeah, we tend to focus on all our governmental stuff, which, as we just noted, is often affected by American Idol and all these other sorts of things. But what really draws the crowds around here are kids' sports often, and that's the nature of where we live. In Greenport, up at the Columbia Green Community College on Saturday, they had the 20th annual Golden Gathering, which is this big health informational event. And State Senator Steve Saland, who will no longer be will no longer be a player, his vote for gay marriage really hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, he will be continuing. What happened was that his district was redistricted, and he won't be handling Columbia County anymore. But he helped start this thing 20 years ago. He came out. 160 people were given flu shots. There were hundreds of people in attendance finding out about Medicare and Medicaid, everything, what to expect in terms of local health scares. The meningitis thing has a lot of people really worried since it's in western Massachusetts. And Mid-Hudson Cable picked up the bill for the whole thing. It was a kind of big event.
Oh, that was great.
And then up in Coxsackie was a really big weekend where they do their fourth annual Coxsackie Pal 5K run. And that was Saturday morning, and it was cold. It was really cold.
It was cold Saturday.
People ran fast. That's what helped Milo in his soccer game. It was cold, and he ran really fast. But it was also a thing called Pink Up the Town, which was a big event run by a local hair salon for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And it was a big event in Coxsackie. In terms of other news around, Athens is just becoming the town that keeps on giving in terms of its. They're still struggling with regulation of noise. And
oh, that argument is still going on?
Still going on. And it's, Athens, you know, when you go through Athens, you can tell it was a really vibrant place at one point. It had the ferry. You can see the leftovers of all these businesses along 2nd Street and you know, the main drag down by the waterfront. There's a restaurant there this summer, Dionysus, which had music outdoors. It got so bad that they got cited for... actually, they got their liquor license removed because they had so many infractions for regarding sound.
Yeah, that was a I had thought at one point, because I believe we even had the mayor here on our afternoon show. I thought that those folks could have worked that out.
Now they're trying to work out a law regulating outdoor music, and poor Dionysus, you know, because of this ongoing problem. You know, they may have been dealt a death blow. I mean, it's very hard to regain one's liquor license after you lose it. And to lose it because of the number of complaints that come in, it shows a way. It's almost what they call a slap suit in the development world, where somebody sues somebody else just to shut them up. And it's if you file enough suits, you can really cause problems with a business entity. Well, now the entire village is wrestling with this proposed law, and what it comes down to is, you know, there are a number of people, especially down towards the riverfront, which is where the developable land is, where you would put kind of commercial entities. And now that, you know, with the in the summer, having the ferry going back and forth to Hudson opens up the possibility of Athens as a place for some form of nightlife. You've got a lot where the it seems the dividing line is a lot of people are saying, you know, they had it. It was going to be 10 p.m. as a cutoff time for music or louder music on weekdays, and I think it was like midnight on weekends. And what the local neighbors are saying is they'd rather have it be 9 p.m. as bedtime and 10 p.m. on the weekends, which is, unfortunately, you know, it's a real back and forth. I remember when I first moved up here, it really surprised me that a lot of people have supper. You know, it's not even dinner. They have supper at 5 p.m. And it you know, they're up at 5, you know, 4:35. I remember once getting wood delivered to me by a guy named Scratchy Ray. This is way up, way up in the mountaintop. And I phoned his wife and, you know, to confirm that he was going to be dropping off the wood the next day. And she goes, you know, I said, is Ray there? You mean Scratchy? I said, yeah, I guess so, Scratchy. And she goes, yeah, he likes to come early. I said, okay, how early? She said, early. I thought, okay, I'll be ready to get up about 6 or so. I think it was 3:45 in the morning. He dropped off a pile of wood in front of my car. So, you know, it's all these things from soccer games and homecomings and you know, these noise laws. You know, we live in an area that has these old rural traditions, and it's becoming more urbanized, and these are where the battlegrounds are.
You're having a mixture of the demographics there, and that's where you're going to see that kind of a problem. It's a guy like me who came up here from Brooklyn, I'm like 11 o'clock.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, people still come up here. They come up to visit, and they can't sleep because it's too quiet.
Yeah.
The Columbia paper had a piece this week about the Columbia County Industrial Development Agency and the Columbia County Capital Resource Corporation, you know, which, you know, kind of in charge of spurring on the economy and keeping tabs on it. They put out a report recently saying that everything's going to be a little slow. There'll be growth, but it's slow growth. It's sort of what we're seeing on a national basis, too. Of course, a lot of people, this means they start to blame someone. Why is it moving so slow? Well, maybe we're in a point where everything's changing, right?
Yeah, that's
maybe
exactly.
That's what's behind it. It's a... Just a few other things. There was in Catskill, the beginning of last week, there was a SUV was involved in a motorcycle vehicle accident on Route 23 and ran, and it hasn't been found yet. There's a great piece that, you know, I'd like to check the local blogs. Sam Pratt, who we all know and was out about a week ago introducing that wonderful film that Barbara Ettinger and Sven Huseby did on the city of Hudson. He has a piece up on sampratt.com all about how Hudson's getting younger, the demographics starting to go down. It went from like 54 to 50, and that's news. That's real news.
Yeah, that's definitely news.
And then some of the other things going on is, there's a big meeting coming up this Friday in Greene County where all the different cultural organizations are coming together talking about kind of ways forward, what's everyone doing, how can they share resources. And this ties into, another effort that's been going on looking at tourism. And there was a whole grant that's being put together, and there's some grant money coming in for what they're calling trail-based tourism or a trail-based tourism plan in Greene County.
Yeah, we had a news story on that on Friday.
Okay, yeah, and that's fascinating stuff. And then Carol, going back to the blogs, Carol Osterink, Gossips of Rivertown, she's had some interesting material up in the past week about the whole back and forth involving the Hudson High School principal's charges of sexual harassment.
Oh, yeah.
And it seems it's against the high school school district or the Hudson School District Superintendent Maria Suttmeyer. And who knows who said what, but watch for that one to have some legs. There's also Carol had some information about what's going on with the Fregari Boat Club, there's some back and forth on trying to decide what to do with the shacks at this point.
Yeah.
And everyone's kind of pushing off the decision until bigger plans are pulled to fruition in regards to the whole property over there. It's all tied in with the Columbia Land Conservancy, which has a plan for North Bay. But in the discussion that came up, Nick Haddad, who, of course, ran for supervisor last year and it didn't get it, but is on the council and on all these discussions, he brought up the fact or indicated that some of the shacks are going to be saved in some way. And whether they're saved down there as a tourist attraction or what will be interesting to see. But there's some serious discussion and thought going into what the future of Fregari.
Yeah, I did that news story this morning. Apparently there's going to be the Economic Development Committee is meeting on the 18th, and I guess they'll know where they're going from there.
Well, that's good. That's these things take a long time to gestate and move forward,
yeah.
which is good. It allows all the tempers to abate and quell a little bit.
Well, apparently the mayor had been concerned because there had been according to the story, a string of break-ins at the property.
Well, yeah, that sort of makes sense. I mean, that happens.
As soon as it's deserted, that's what's going to happen.
You know, and you can see that around those buildings at the Columbia Land Conservancy Trail on the other end of North Bay. With those buildings, that there had been break-ins at some point, and it seems to be stemmed now that there's a lot of people going through. I had an exciting week last week. Last Tuesday, I saw that there was all the Tea Party blogs were buzzing about a big lecture on Agenda 21, which was going on up in Saugerties. Now, a lot of us go, what's Agenda 21?
Yeah, I was just getting ready to ask you.
Agenda 21 is what's driving the Tea Party these days. I'd been wondering, where are they? Why are they not having the same sort of impact that they did 2 years ago? Well, this meeting was heavily attended. It was over 100 people. The age was, well over 60. It averaged well over 60. A lot of anger in the room. There was a woman, Lynn Tager, who's out of Rockland County, as she kept reiterating she's a commercial real estate developer and that's how she sees the world. And she started off, she did a PowerPoint presentation, and it was very similar, and I'm, probably showing some bias here, but very similar to the sorts of exegesis in presentations that we saw when Glenn Beck had his television show, using that blackboard, and it would go from point A to point L to point H to Z, and comparing apples to potatoes, and she went from looking. Agenda 21 came out of I think it was in Rio in 1992. There was a big UN conference on the ideas of, you know, how do we protect the environment and people within a changing environment. Bush was down there. Gore was down there. You know, it was a big event. And out of it came the ideas of sustainability and smart growth, all these buzzwords that we've been dealing with in recent years, where you have to think of the whole community and how to preserve resources over a long period of time. Well, this has become the great battleground in terms of the Tea Party at this point. They've gone past all the ideas of taxes and huge debts, although that still plays a large role, as I noted, last Tuesday in Socrates, where the big bad guys, the biggest of the bad guys, well, of course, is Obama, and then there's Hillary Clinton and Ben Bernanke, and then both George Bushes, and it just goes down from there until it's everybody in government, pretty much, except for Paul Ryan. and they were making, they would take a page from this, 600-page UN document, yellow line a couple lines, and then extrapolate from there. And it went on like this for over 2 hours until they came up with the point that, they're against anything that's community, because community runs counter to the idea of American exceptionalism, which is all for property rights. The major thing they were against, anything that was, what they said is this whole idea of sustainability is counter-American because it goes against the ideals of single-family homes, having your own car. They're against all this bike trails and public transportation, et cetera. They made a big point of the right to have one's air conditioning and whatever appliances one wants to have. They brought up golf as an inalienable right. And their basic point was that these are the things that we enjoy as Americans, and we should not be asked to give them up for the rest of the world. And how are they going to do this? They're going after every master plan and comprehensive plan in every local town. They're going against anything that reeks of regionalism or sharing services between towns and counties as being a breakdown of home rule and individualism. And they're going against anything that mentions climate change, and they're doing it on a very local basis, and not through running for office, but through manipulation of party structure, party committee structure. And they urged everyone, they asked, how many people are Democrats here? No one raised their hands. And they said, well, then you have to work through the Republican committee. They pointed out how the down in Tampa, the Republican convention, the party platform made mention of Agenda 21 and how the Republican Party is going to do everything it can to have it reversed and to reverse all this talk of sustainability.
But you do realize that Agenda 21 doesn't do any of those things, right?
Right, but this okay. is.
I know if someone believes it and they're fearful, then that's just
and
the way it is.
And what they're doing is that they're starting to show up at meetings. They've been at meetings in Dutchess County, all throughout Ulster County, Rockland County, Sullivan County. You're going to start to see it. It's happening in Delaware County, where they're blocking things. The first time I really noticed this and realized this is something I had to cover, There was a proposal out in Ulster and Delaware counties to create a scenic byway, which is a state program. It ties into a federal program that identifies a roadway as being officially scenic. It puts it on maps. It draws a certain amount of tourism. In exchange, you conform your signs. You put up information kiosks in the lot, and you kind of protect that roadway, the look of that roadway. Well, these folks brought up Agenda 21 at a series of meetings and managed to break the whole thing, or largely. They, first of all, one town voted against it by a slim majority, but it was enough. They said, we don't want to have to share, you know, if we joined into this, we would have to share decision making with five other municipalities, and that would break down our home rule, so we don't want to do it. And then another town kind of came along, and one person said, I can't go along with it, so they pulled out. You know, it happened there. It's happened in terms of over in Dutchess County with the sharing of road crew costs between two towns. And they came in and they gummed up the works there. So it's just something we really have to pay attention to. It's very smart in that it goes to the, you know, we forget, as especially in a presidential election year, that, you know, all our attention is on the top of the ticket.
Right.
You know, the national level, but where government really occurs is down here on the town and the village and the school board level, and that's where the Tea Party is trying to make its effects now. And so just it's something, you know, they have rights to what they're saying, and it's a very interesting argument. Of course, you know, I look at it, you know, I mean, just looking at it from a purely from my perspective, and I won't label my perspective, you know, I heard things where they were talking about, you know, they went from talking about the idea of individualism versus community, and they brought up this new buzzword of communitarian, which is the idea of thinking in terms of community with everything, and they tied the word communitarian to communism right away. And then they brought up the idea of Hegel, you know, this, you know, one of the great philosophers who came up with the idea of the dialectic, that you have, you know, a thesis and an antithesis, and out of that comes a synthesis, and this is how you work things out. And but they dismissed all of Hegelian thought, the entire idea of that form of logic, as again being communist, because Hegel influenced Marx, who influenced Lenin, etc. And the whole argument moved in this kind of lurching way throughout, until by the end everybody was just massively angry at this thing and ready to go out and take down every affordable housing project in the area to you know, that one of the arguments they said is that, you know, they're trying to control our neighborhoods, you know, through, you know, they're bringing up the idea of income being you know, a demographic weighing tool, you know, on the same basis as race and age, etc., and that means that nobody has a control over their own neighborhood and who can live in that neighborhood or not. Well, didn't we have that battle 60 years ago, 70 years ago, 150 years ago?
I'll tell you,
it's back. Anyway, so that's just it's not even a rant, but just something that. Oddly enough, just some points in history. Today was the day in 1783 that the Montgolfier brothers sent their first hot air balloon up into the sky. It was the first kind of first time that mankind really left the earth and kind of was able to rise above it and get that bird's eye view without kind of falling in towards death.
And what year was that?
1783. It's a while ago, but it's still, you know,
it's relevant.
Yep. 1966 on this day, Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale founded the Black Panther Party.
Oh.
On this day, and then 3 years later on this day, the moratorium to end the war in Vietnam occurred in 1969, Washington, D.C., where it was centered in D.C. Over 2 million people demonstrated nationally, about 250,000 in the nation's capital. That was the black armbands. You remember that?
Yeah.
That was a big thing. And then birthdays, you know, I brought
those
up.
Those were the days.
some of my favorite birthdays, there was Barry McGuire, who wrote one of the songs that really itches it. And you just the Eve of Destruction.
Ah, yes.
Mickey Baker. Talk about he had a one-hit wonder. He had a group, Mickey and Sylvia, back in, I think it was the late 50s, early 60s. They did just a classics one-hit hit, a one-song hit, Love is Strange.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes. I remember that one. Yeah. Hated it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've grown to like it. And actually, Paul on Wings, McCartney's band, on their first album, they did a nice version of that song. Tito Jackson.
Tito Jackson's birthday.
Alex Patterson, who's co-founder of the it's an ambient group. It's one of those groups you never quite sure you heard, but really big in the techno scene and dance hall scene. A group called The Orb. And look them up at some point. Marv Johnson, who he put out or created the first song that Motown put out back in 1962, Come to Me. And then Richard Carpenter of the Carpenters. It's his birthday today. And then finally, one of my great favorites, and I saw this man play in Paris towards the end of his life. I think it was 12 wives on stage with him, all dancing. He was just an amazing showman. He had like a 15-person band, Fela Kuti of Nigeria, and he was a musician and political activist who died in 1997. And I think, don't you have him lined up at this point?
Yeah, well, that's why I was trying to signal you.
I know. Who is the name of the singer whose birthday is today? Well, I gave you all of them, but it's Fela.